tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
Shall not pass. We talked about the abomination of desolation. Let's look at our scripture one more time. Matthew 24, verse 15 through 16. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now remember, Jesus said, you'll see two specific things, the abomination of desolation, and the Jews in Judea will have to flee. And remember that Jesus said, when you see these things, then know that the generation that sees these things shall not pass until everything is fulfilled. Now let's look at the situation with Judea. If you don't know where Judea is, then this is meaningless to you. This prophecy is meaningless to you. I happen to know where Judea is because I visit Judea every single year when I make my way to Israel. Judea is the area that's today called the occupied territories or the West Bank. But let's look back at the history of Judea. What happened was King Solomon displeased God. He married 700 wives, 300 concubines, and they drew his heart away from God because many of them were from foreign countries and they taught him the nuances of all their religions. And Solomon so displeased God that God said, I am going to take the kingdom from you and give it to someone else. However, because of your father David, who I love so much, I'm going to leave two tribes with you. So I'm going to take 10 tribes and give it to Jeroboam. Two tribes will stay with your son Rehoboam. Well, that's what happened after Solomon's death. There was a split in Israel. 10 tribes became known as the Northern Kingdom and known as Israel. Two tribes became the Southern Kingdom, also called Judah. From then until now, that's the way it has been. So Judah had its own kings. Judah had its own prophets. Israel had its own kings. Israel had its own prophets. And that was the situation. However, the nation of Israel, after Israel was driven away from the Holy Land, the nation of Israel was reborn in 1948. The UN partition plan that divided the Holy Land gave part to Israel and part to the Palestinians, even though the Palestinians refused the action of the UN. But when the UN gave the portion to Israel, they did not include the part of the promised land known as Judea Samaria. They just gave them the northern kingdom. So from 1948 until 1967, Israel only possessed the approximate territory that was known as the 10 tribes of Israel. However, in the 1967 war, Abdel Nasser of Egypt picked a war with Israel. He thought he could drive Israel into the sea. So he closed the Straits of Tehran, and he moved his armies into the Sinai. And Israel knew that an attack was imminent. So Israel launched a surprise attack early one morning, caught the Egyptian Air Force on the ground, and destroyed all of their airplanes. Well, in 6 short days, Israel swept to victory. In the middle of this, Israel's fighting with Syria in the north, the Golan Heights. They take the Golan Heights, which also was part of the Promised Land. But they took the Golan Heights because Syria had continually been shelling the Israeli settlements down the area of the Sea of Galilee. And so Israel said, we're going to put a stop to this. While we're in this war, we might as well solve this problem. So they did. And then the prime minister of Israel called King Hussein of Jordan, which was on the east side of Israel, and said, if you will stay out of the war, we won't bother you. Well, King Hussein didn't feel like he could stay out while his Muslim brethren were fighting against the Zionist entity, so he decided to jump into the war. Well, then Israel counterattacked and swept all the way from Jerusalem to the Jordan River. Well, this is the area called Judea Samaria. So Israel captured the area of Judah or Judea in the 1967 war. They also captured East Jerusalem, which contained the Temple Mount. Of course, that's the center of Jewish life. So the 1967 war was known as the War of Redemption. Well, the Jewish people, the religious people in particular, were just absolutely exhilarated by what God had done. And God had given a commandment: when I bring you into the land that I promised to your father Abraham, you are to occupy the land. So the religious Jews, that's what they did. They went out and they found territory that was unoccupied, and they began to build cities all over Judea, Samaria. Ariel Sharon, the late prime minister, actually he's still in a coma today, but the former prime minister of Israel, he was one of the prime movers because he felt like the pre-1967 borders were not defensible. After all, they were only 9 miles wide at the waist. So he felt like Israel had to have new borders, and that's the reason he encouraged the settlers to settle all throughout Judea, Samaria. Well, today, there's about 300,000 Jews living in Judea, Samaria, plus 250,000 living in East Jerusalem. So there's a total of about 550,000 Jews living in the territories that were controlled by Jordan, actually, prior to 1967. Now then, trying to get a peace deal, trying to end the state of war, the world community says that Israel needs to give up most, if not all, of this territory. Barack Obama says that they must give up this territory. George Bush said that they must give up this territory. So the pressure is on Israel to leave this territory. However, there's a big problem. What do you do with the 550,000 Jews that live in Judea, Samaria? Now, Israeli leaders fear that trying to force an evacuation of that many people would lead to civil war, and it probably would. So here's the big question. Now, don't forget the prophecy of Jesus. There's going to be people living in Judea at the time of the abomination of desolation, 3.5 years before Armageddon. So how do we solve this problem of 550,000 Jews living over here in this territory that the international community says Israel must now withdraw from? What is the solution? Well, there was an article that appeared on January the 1st of 2010. It appeared in the most widely distributed Jewish daily newspaper called Haaretz. It was written by a Jewish man by the name of Alexander Jacobson, which in our language is Jacobson, and it was entitled, Settlers Can Stay, But Only as Citizens of Palestine. The time has come to say to the settler leaders, okay, you've convinced us. It seems that a mass evacuation of settlers is an impractical idea. You showed us clearly that you're prepared to turn such a removal into a national trauma. It's doubtful that any Israeli politician would chance it. Now, let's get a little history here. You can see pictures here of 2005, when Ariel Sharon decided, I know how to bring peace. I'm going to unilaterally withdraw from the areas that we're not going to be allowed to keep anyway. Foremost is Gaza. That's the center of Palestinian population. And even though we have a presence of 9,000 Jews now living close to the area of Gaza, I'm going to pull the Jewish population out, 9,000 of them. Well, these were people who had conviction that God told them, when I bring you into the promised land, you are to occupy the land. This is your promised land. And so these religious settlers said, no, we're not moving. Sharon said, well, if I have to, I'll send the army down to carry you out by force. They said, we're not moving. So in August of 2005, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon gave the order that the Jewish army moved in and begin to carry these settlers out. Now, many of the Jewish soldiers were religious. They didn't believe they should be doing this. And so they're carrying their fellow Jews out, weeping and kicking and screaming and crying. You can see pictures here. The Jews blockaded themselves on top of some of their houses, on top of one synagogue. And when the soldiers came near, they would actually throw acid down on them, trying to defend the homeland. But they couldn't hold out against the army. And so they carried the Jewish people away. Sometimes the settlers weeping and crying, and the Jews who were carrying them weeping and crying. It was a trauma. It almost brought civil war to the nation of Israel back in 2005. Well, now this article's saying, we've already been through that with 9,000 Jews. We're convinced we can never evacuate 550,000 Jews. It would cause a civil war. Notice what the article says. It's doubtful that any Israeli politician would chance it because mass evacuation is simply impractical. Well, the article continues. If evacuation is not practical, the conclusion is to divide the land without removing the settlers. In other words, we can go ahead and draw the boundaries. Israel should formally adopt the suggestion by Palestinian Prime Minister Salam Fayyad. There is no need for an evacuation. Settlers who are interested may stay where they are after an Israeli withdrawal and live as a Jewish minority in a Palestinian state. The Prime Minister of the Palestinian Authority says, look, we know we're never going to settle this problem. We've got two problems. We've got the Temple Mount, and we've got this problem of 550,000 Jews living on territory that we believe is destined to be a Palestinian homeland. So if we cannot evacuate them out, then the next best thing is to say, okay, you can stay. We understand. He actually made the statement. We understand your historic connection to Judea and Samaria, and that's worthy of respect. You've been there 3,000 years. We'll actually ensure settlers' property rights. After all, we've got 1 million Palestinians living in Israel under Israeli government. Why can't 250,000, 300,000 live under a Palestinian authority? Now, if you want to move, if you're not comfortable with this arrangement, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll buy you out the part of the agreement. The international community will be happy to finance this. We'll buy your homes, we'll buy your businesses, and we will resettle you in Israel proper. But if you're determined to stay, if you are so attached to the land and feel you have a religious obligation to stay, then we'll just let you stay there, and you will be an Israeli minority living under Palestinian control, like we have a Palestinian minority living under Israeli control. Now remember, this article is an Israeli publication saying this is what should happen. And we even have evidence now that the Prime Minister of Israel may favor this solution as the only possible solution. Let's look at the rest of the article. And yet it is worth asking, without doubting Fayyad's intentions, if it is reasonable that Palestine be the only Arab state with a significant Jewish community. In other words, all over the world, there's no Arab state that actually has Israelis, Jewish people living at peace. It's just not happening anywhere. So can we really believe that it'll happen in Palestine as much as they hate the Jews? Well, the writer, Mr. Jacobson, said the Jewish imagination pictures mass slaughter, but these are the exaggerations of anti-Arab rhetoric. Are they really? Jesus didn't think so. Jesus said, when this arrangement is implemented, then those who live in Judea, there's going to come an event called the Abomination of Desolation. And when that event occurs, the Jews in Judea are going to have to run for their life because they're going to be slaughtered. Then shall be great tribulation such as never has been before. As a matter of fact, let's look at the passage one more time. When you see the abomination of desolation, this is Matthew 24, 16 through 18. Then let them which be in Judea, that's the West Bank, the occupied territories that are the disputed territories right now in the peace negotiations, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Why? For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Jesus said, this is going to be such a sudden thing that if you're on your housetop and you hear that this world leader has stood on the Temple Mount saying, I'm in charge here, I'm the ultimate authority, he may even say, I'm your Messiah. Whatever he says, the Bible says he will claim to be God. He's going to stand there on the Temple Mount. And this prophecy of Jesus said, when you see that, if you're on your housetop, don't even come down to grab your clothes. If you're in the field, don't run back to the house to get your billfold. Hit the ground running. Why? For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, this prophecy is 2,000 years old, but yet, what is the most endangered populace in the world? It's going to be Judea. Those Jews who apparently, according to this article that we've just read from Haaretz newspaper, January 1, 2010, and which it appears that even the Israeli government is now embracing as the possible solution. Hey, we're not forcing you to stay there, but if you stay there, we're withdrawing. You'll not have the protection of the Israeli army anymore. So you can stay there. The treaty protects you. But if you want to move out, we're ready to buy you out and move you back into Israel. That's what the discussions are saying behind closed doors at the White House, in the talks in Jerusalem. This is what they are discussing as they're attempting to get to an agreement. You may be saying, are they going to get an agreement? Yes, they are. They will get an agreement. It'll work for a while. And this is going to be part of that agreement. They're going to place the Temple Mount under international control, and they're going to give Judea, Samaria to the Palestinians, by and large, with some possible land swaps, like President Obama said. Okay, so the very thing that's prophesied is what it looks like is getting ready to happen. We have another prophecy about Judea. What's going to happen to these people? Now, Zechariah chapter number 12 through 14 deals with what's going to happen in Israel right before Armageddon. And in chapter number 12, the Lord said that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone, and all people who burden themselves with it will be cut to pieces. So all the people dabbling with Jerusalem right now are in danger. But then in verse number 7, the prophecy specifically addresses the inhabitants of Judah right at the time that we're talking about today. Listen to what it says, verse number 7. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. What's this about? Well, we know that all of Israel that survives the great tribulation and the wrath of God will turn to Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus comes down, puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, they'll rush out to meet their Messiah, and that's where they're going to see the nail prints. They're going to realize, hey, our Messiah is Jesus Christ. They will then turn to the Lord. The Bible says all of Israel that have survived will be saved. The bad news is two-thirds will be wiped out then, according to the latter part of Zechariah chapter 13. So all that survives of Israel will then turn to Jesus Christ. But before that happens in verse 7 of Zechariah 12, listen to what it says again. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first. What's going to happen? Well, End Time Ministries has sent a magazine to every home in the West Bank, warning them of the things I'm talking to you about today, that these things are coming. Yes, there's going to be a temple built. It'll be built north of the Dome of the Rock. The Temple Mount's going to be placed under a sharing arrangement. We put all of this in the magazine. And I warned them that even though it's going to look good for a while, it's going to end up going sour, and they need to be prepared to run for their lives. And we actually said in the magazine, when you run, try to make it to Jerusalem, because we'll meet you there. We've already seen about reserving the International Convention Center in Jerusalem. We want to have the biggest prophecy conference ever held in the city of Jerusalem. And when these Jews that flee the West Bank, the area of Judah, when they make it to Jerusalem, I've already told them, look for the signs that say End Time Prophecy Conference. We will meet you there. Now, I believe what's going to happen is when the Jews who choose to believe, some will not. Some will stay behind, and they will be slaughtered. But the Jews who choose to believe, and by the way, we're going to make another mailing. Once the temple's being built and we know it's about time for the fulfillment of this prophecy, we're going to mail to every home again in the West Bank and hopefully in all of Israel to let them know what is coming. Well, once they flee for their life, they're going to look over their shoulders and see their brethren who did not believe being slaughtered. And they're going to realize that it was the prophecy of Jesus, because this is a New Testament prophecy. Matthew 24, this verse number 15 through 21. They're going to realize it was the prophecy of Jesus that saved them. I believe many of them are going to come to our prophecy conference. And when they get there, we're going to say to them, now, you were just now saved. You were physically saved by Jesus Christ. Let us tell you about eternal life through Jesus Christ. You know, there was a pretty good little revival started in Jerusalem a couple of thousand years ago. Do you think God could do that again? I believe he could. And I believe that's what this prophecy is saying. God will save the tents of Judah first, and a great revival will start right then. Okay, so now then, let's return to the prophecy. Jesus said to us, Matthew 24, verse number 34, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. We've gone over the signs, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, diverse places. We've shown you the dramatic increase of earthquakes from averaging about 50 a year, 50 a decade over the last 100 years. And then all of a sudden, in the most recent decade, 2001 to 2010, 425, from 50 average to 425 earthquakes, 6.0 on the Richter scale and above. We've shown you that. We've shown you how that in the negotiations, they've decided the only way to settle the Temple Mount is to put it under a sharing arrangement. Go to the literature, read about what's going on behind the scenes. They know they have two big issues that are the most difficult. What will happen to the Temple Mount? And what is going to happen to Judea? How do we get those settlers out? Those are the two main issues in the Middle East peace talks. And those just happen to be the two specific things that Jesus said, when you see these things, then know that this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Now, how could it be any plainer? Jesus wanted us to know this. He gave us the parable. A lot of people say, oh, the fig tree is Israel, and therefore when Israel was reborn in 1948, then within that generation, Jesus has to return. We don't have any biblical proof that the fig tree is Israel. I know that's been widely taught, but that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, when you see the fig tree and all the trees budding, you know summer's nigh. Likewise, when you see these things I've talked about, when you, not when you see the rebirth of the nation of Israel, but when you see these things that I've talked about in my Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, when you see all these things coming to pass, then know that the generation that sees these things shall not pass until everything's fulfilled. Now, some of the things Jesus talked about were general prophecies, but he gave us these two specific things. When you see the abomination of desolation, when you see the Antichrist stand on the Temple Mount, claiming to be Messiah, claiming to be God, when you see him standing there saying, I am in charge here, and then when you see those Jews that have to run from Judea for their life, when you see these things, then know that the generation that sees these things shall not pass until everything be fulfilled. Now, my question to you is, was this generation Jesus talked about, is that you? Is that me? I believe it is. I believe the prophecy is talking about us, you, me. I believe you and I are witnessing right now what Jesus foresaw 2,000 years ago and said, this generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. And that's why I believe Jesus will return to this earth during this generation, our generation. Our 14 lessons now include the United States discovered in the Bible, New World Order is world government, Islam in Bible prophecy, World War III, Israel's God-given destiny, Israel, God's prophetic time clock, Holy Roman Empire reborn, Antichrist and the false prophet, 666 Mark of the Beast, the secret pact between Gorbachev and the Vatican, when all religions become one, the seven trumpets, the second coming, and the kingdom of God established on earth. You want to have all 14 of these marvelous prophecy lessons. If you go through these 14 DVDs, each of them 1 hour, you are going to know more about Bible prophecy than the average student graduating from theological seminary. We need to know where we are right now. Jesus Christ said, I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe. So the number to call is, one more time, 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com.
Consider becoming a partner with End Time Ministries. End Time is preaching the gospel of the kingdom to every person on earth because the end time is now. Your seed helps us share current events and how they relate to the prophecies of the Bible. Call us at 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com. Join the End Time family today and help us make a world impact because the end time is now.